Welcome to the IGIS Institute Sounds of Safety podcast, where our community will be delving into a series of critical issues supporting the public sector mission space. On today's episode, we welcome back Casey Roussel, CCO of FusionStack and chair of the IGIS Justice and Public Safety Advanced Analytics Committee, and introduce Ellen Reed, the director of the Justice Data Team from Tyler Technologies. Casey and Ellen will be discussing the purpose and criticality of analytics within the criminal justice space and what agencies should know about before starting to utilize their data to make more informed decisions for their agency. Now let's hear today's episode with Casey and Ellen.
Welcome, everybody. Thank you for joining us today and listening to what we're talking about. Again, today is going to be on some analytics, especially inside of our justice system and how data analytics is being used, will be used, and some ideas for the future to share with you. And today, we're extremely fortunate to have a wonderful guest, Ms. Ellen Reed. She is the director of the Justice Data Team at Tyler Technologies. If you don't know who Tyler is, you must be living under a rock. They're one of the leaders in all of criminal justice and public safety and basically everything dealing with state and local government technologies. So with that, I'll introduce you to Ms. Ellen, and I'm going to give her some time to tell you a little bit about herself.
Yeah, I really appreciate you having me. Well, as Casey said, I am the leader of the Justice Data Team here at Tyler. We're a relatively new team. We really got formed last year, although we've been working on analytics for the court system and for public safety for quite a bit longer than that. But now I have a whole team that's specifically dedicated to working with clients in the courts and public safety agencies and figuring out how they want to use analytics, how we can best give them the data that they need to answer their most pressing questions. So it's been really, really exciting to be in so many of those conversations around the country and really exciting to have a whole team backing me up in those conversations and in creating what our clients are asking for. I'll just say a little bit about myself. Part of the reason I have a lot of passion around this subject is because I used to work in the legal system. I was a paralegal for quite a while. I worked in both pro bono organizations and private organizations. I've also worked in social services, and I've worked in sort of legal administration at the bar association level. And I've been involved in a lot of legal regulatory boards, technology committees, et cetera, things like that. Pretty broad-based experience in the justice system and pretty broad-based experience working with people who are trying to innovate, who are trying to figure out how to solve problems in the justice system. So it's really exciting for me to be in a position with Tyler where I get to kind of make those things a reality with the backing of Tyler. It's an amazing opportunity.
Oh, fantastic. Thanks for that. Analytics is such an amazingly broad topic with it. And one of the things that I kind of want to start with that we've seen struggles, especially at the practitioner level and the user side is, okay, what exactly, give me some definitions. What is analytics? When we talk to people, we always ask them, hey, what are you doing with analytics? Do you do analytics? Oh yeah, we do all this crazy stuff. And I'm like, all right, well, show me. I'm interested in seeing. And when I look at it, it's like, wait, that's reporting that you're doing. That's not analytics. And they're like, what do you mean? What's the difference? Before I throw this question at you, I'm always taking the position, you can tell me if I'm way off the beaten path or not, is that reporting tells you what's going on, right? But analytics tries to tell you why it's happening. Like, what is the cause of what's going on with it? So in your mind, at the basic level, can you give us your view of what is analytics when we're trying to bring it to the criminal justice system?
Yeah, what a great question. So I think I know part of why you potentially are having that conversation with people. In sort of the analyst world, we often talk about two types of analytics generally, predictive analytics and descriptive analytics. Predictive analytics is really trying to tell you what is going to happen based on historical data, based on different trend analysis, et cetera. Descriptive analytics tells you what is happening. And I would argue that the difference between descriptive analytics and reporting is sort of subtle because descriptive analytics should tell you what's happening and reporting should tell you what's happening. But with descriptive analytics, typically what we're trying to do is not only say, you know, this is how many arrests occurred, for example, in, you know, this county during this time period. We're also trying to collect enough metadata and enough associated data, you know, data about incidents, data about cases, data about, you know, maybe what type of events were going on in, you know, the city where this arrest occurred, et cetera, so that you can understand not just that something happened, but why it might have happened, so that you can dig in and do that trend and pattern analysis of that historical data to say, why did this specific thing or this specific set of things occur? So I would say that, you know, a lot of what, especially, you know, public safety and the courts do, I would say that it fits in both the pattern of reporting and descriptive analytics. But if the court or the public safety agency has a pretty robust ability to collect lots of diverse data points, that's when you get it more out of that just, oh, is there our reports, into something where they can really use that data to say, you know, okay, let's understand what happened here and let's understand, you know, why that's important and how that can potentially impact the way that we decide to operate in the future. So it's a subtle distinction.
Yeah. And that's always the challenge. I know one of the big things we're working through, like at the IGIS Institute inside of our committee, is really one, defining what analytics is and trying to come up with a playbook or a guide for the public safety system of how you can use that to start using analytics. But there's such vast differences between the basic agency that says, hey, I heard good things about analytics and I'd like to try it, versus a department that is fully on board, fully been doing it. So I guess my next question is, I'd like to get your thoughts on, is there a base set of requirements that if you're inside of, whether you're a court, law enforcement, what have you, that there's just certain things that you have to have in place to be able to even remotely benefit from analytics, or just doing anything is better than nothing, if that makes sense?
Yeah. I think that's a really good and complex question, because one of the really important things about data is that without context, it can be detrimental at times. If you are creating conclusions based on data that you don't understand, it can actually lead things in the wrong direction. And sometimes it can lead things in the wrong direction in a, you know, somewhat benign way. You change a business process, you have to change it back because it turns out you didn't really understand why you were making the change. And other times data can be really detrimental in the sense of the way we collect it, and especially the criminal justice system, right? Someone is attached to a criminal record that isn't actually theirs, et cetera. So there's lots of different things that can happen as a result of like not understanding, not correctly configuring data that can be detrimental. So I'm hesitant to say, hey, like data is always good, analytics is always good. I think it's sort of like anything that you have in your life, right? Your house, your kids, your family, your friends. It's better not to take it on too deeply unless you can really spend that time and attention and care to make sure that it's properly maintained. So I do think data is in general like so important for courts, for criminal justice, for public safety agencies. It's so important. It can be so transformative. But I do think it is really important to also make sure that there's data governance policies, make sure that everyone understands the data that's being worked with. And also to make sure that data is being looked at the right level. And I'll explain a little bit more what I mean by that. If you have really high level data, you're just counting the number of new cases, for example, that were opened in a specific jurisdiction during a time period. There's lots of ways people can use that data for, you know, budget processes and things like that. And that's fine. Lots of different people can understand, oh, this is how many new cases were filed. You probably don't need a court people might disagree with me here, but so you probably don't need a ton of context for that data to be useful. But at the same time, when you get down to like really granular things like response time analysis and for public safety, it is critical for the people who actually are coordinating those responses to be the ones looking at the data, because they're the ones who have the right level of context to understand, hey, we had a really, really long response time to this incident. They're the ones who know why that happened. They're the ones who can understand this is an outlier, this is a pattern. So having data actually delivered to the people who sort of work with the processes that created that data, I think is really critical. It's really critical. And I don't want to make it sound like you have to do a ton of work and you have to hire people and you have to stand up a whole department to work with data. I don't think any of that is true. I think most public safety agencies, most courts have a lot of data on hand that they can use just as is, and they can understand it. But once you're creating like a data program, it is really, really important that you understand why you're collecting each piece of data and what that data is going to be used for. And you have kind of defined what that piece of data really means, how it's created. I always joke about, in the court system especially, counting is the hard part. Figuring out whether or not a case is technically open or inactive during some amount of time, you know, that can be very complicated in certain case types. So having the people who really understand the data make decisions so that the data can be categorized clearly and used clearly, I think is really critical. You know, there's places where you can be more general and places where you have to be more specific.
The thought always that comes to my mind is the garbage in, garbage out saying, right? Yeah. And so we're finding so much now where, especially the public safety side, the courts are, I think, better. But on the public safety side, there's so much bad data in the sense of it's incomplete, where, you know, cases have not been properly documented as far as adjudicated, or they're still open, whether it's warrant data, whatever the case may be. So you start running analytics, you know, the analytical engines don't know that it's bad data, right? They're taking the data, interpreting and spitting out. So I think that goes really key to what you were saying, that you have to have some human common sense looking at this and say, all right, the data's telling me something, but in my gut, this doesn't sound right. Not just take blind actions based on, you know, what the data is telling you. I remember 10 years ago, you probably can give me a better time estimate, that deploying some type of analytical engine to help you was extremely expensive. It was labor intensive, cost intensive with it. Today, that doesn't seem to be the case anymore, especially with cloud technologies and everything. If there's an agency out there that is listening to this and they're like, man, I really wanted to do this, what type of investment, just, and I'm not talking an average law enforcement agency or small court, if they wanted to do this, how easy is it for them to start this journey and start doing some analytics? I mean, does it start with an Excel spreadsheet, or would you say, no, let's go to some type of analytical system that can actually do this for you? Do you think having a Tyler type product, let's classify from the Tylers of the world, and then we're going to do some Excel reporting and stuff, right? Is it, do they have to go the product route to get started? You think that that would make the most sense, or should they say, I'm not sure yet, let me start a different route?
I think it really depends on the profile of the, you know, court or agency. If I'd say there's sort of two ways I would think about that. One is, if you can get a system, and mine, to be transparent, is set up this way, where there is an analytics system coupled with, you know, your RMS system, your CAD system, your CMS system, you know, depending on who you are. If you can get an analytics engine that's coupled up with that kind of natively and be able to just extract and use that data, you're going to have a really rich, robust set of data to get started with. And that can be great either if you have a whole analytics department, you know, if you have many people on staff that can spend time looking at this data, or it can be great if you don't have anyone who's designated to do it, because it'll produce some out-of-the-box analytics for you that you can start using without having to, you know, learn how to write SQL or learn how to do, you know, very advanced Excel work or anything like that. So I think for both of those profiles, like either if you have an analytics staff and they're ready to just dive in and have a ton of validated data to work with, then it can be fantastic to just get a product that's natively coupled with your database, with, you know, CMS, RMS, CAD. But if you are maybe an agency that has someone who's interested in this, and you really aren't sure whether you want a data program, you know, you really aren't sure whether that's going to be beneficial for you, then I think it makes more sense to start small. And, you know, like you're saying, go ahead and get the data you can, start working with it, start seeing if you can make decisions with it, start seeing if you are kind of creating an appetite for more data at your agency or at your court. And then at that point, you know, embark on a larger program. Because the thing about you know, you said garbage in, garbage out. That's really true. And like a lot of the problems with data, a lot of the reasons that it's hard to work with data are just very normal day-to-day reasons. You know, they're not, it's nothing around you know, people are actively trying to not do data entry, or, you know, that there isn't sort of a general willingness to have data be collected or anything like that. Most of the time data isn't collected just because people are busy. They have full-time jobs on the ground that, you know, don't always include a lot of time for data entry. So we get a lot of places where data is missing or data is bad because of that. So the way to stop having that is really just for the organization, the agency, to prioritize usage of data and collection of data. And it takes a while to create that culture of data. It doesn't happen overnight. So I do think it makes a lot of sense to really kind of organizationally commit to using data. I do find that in the public safety space, that's already a very common commitment. You know, most public safety agencies have been using data quite religiously for, you know, decades now. So that is a very strong thing I already see working with public safety in court. It tends to be a bit more varied across the country.
So I'm gonna throw something else at you. I've always been under the belief of, you know, go big or go home. Like, if you're gonna do it, go for it. And I know in our company, I'm always the one that everyone's got to say, calm down a little bit. Let's you know, relook at this. But when I see the data analytics on it, and we talk, it's like, okay, let's take the RMS, let's take the CAD, let's take the JMS, let's take the court data, not only at your agency, but let's get everyone around you. Let's look at what other government data we have access to. Because I'm like, the reason why I find a flaw, and I understand some agencies have to do it. What the flaw I find in let's start small with data is if you start small, you get such little value that it can discourage you from doing anything else, right? So I'm always, hey, let's get as much as we can and let's swing and let's go for it with it. And okay, I hate the whole Excel thing. Like I love we have unbelievably powerful tools out there that in comparison are very relatively inexpensive, right? You're not talking about hundreds of thousands and millions of dollars to do this. It's cost effective to do it where, okay, I have my data, let's compile that data. And these systems kind of take on the role of that data analyst. I don't have to go hire a data analyst to take all of this and try to make sense of it. I can let these systems do this.
Yes.
So I'm just curious on, do you see it the same way that, hey, let's go big or not go or this, or you think in the analytics world, it's still both are a viable option?
No, I mean, I'm definitely, you're speaking my language with the go big piece. Yep. I do think that, like, it's important that, again, you kind of organizationally commit to data and to using data. But all that said, like, the amount of data that you can get now is just so different than it was 10 years ago, than it was 20 years ago, because we use so much more technology. And the courts especially went through a huge transition around this during the pandemic. Many courts that used practically no technology transformed to be digital courthouses within 6 months, within 8 months. So there was, in many cases, not very much information being collected in any sort of digital format. And now all of the business processes, everything that's happening day to day, is happening in a digital format and is potentially extractable as data. So, and, you know, also true in public safety, a lot of things that did not used to be digitized are now digitized. Therefore, we can extract that data and understand what's happening in those systems. So there is a tremendous amount of data to be had and to be utilized. And it's much easier to get than it has ever been in history. And it's really an incredible opportunity for all of these agencies. And for, you know, we talk about justice partners in the criminal justice system, justice partners working together, different agencies, you know, the court, law enforcement, prosecutor's office, et cetera. There's a tremendous opportunity to be able to share data between those agencies and to be able to understand things, not just on an individual agency level, but on a systems level. I think that's the really transformative opportunity that's in front of us now, is to actually be able to connect these siloed data and connect these different areas of the justice system and be able to understand, you know, not just process and processes, but like policy impacts, law change impacts, et cetera. There's all sorts of ways we can use the data incredibly dynamically now. So I'm all for people going big. I'm all for people going big. Yeah, well, but better to start somewhere than to not start.
Well, we agree. And you said something that is a perfect transition to the next question I want to ask you is, we get, or at least we understand, the power of sharing the data between the agencies and the court system and everything, and the unbelievable value that this brings to those entities. However, there's a whole nother side of it. I think that the world of data analytics now and what it can do, really for the first time ever, we're able to give full transparency to the public about what's going on inside of these agencies, what's going on inside of the courthouses, because, you know, everyone, you go, I don't care where you go, and you put a mic in front of somebody's face and say, hey, what do you think about the criminal justice system and how it operates? And everybody's like, it sucks. It's slow. It takes forever. All of this stuff. Well, it's easy to say that when you don't understand why it operates that way. And I'll tell people, like, take a day off and go sit in a courtroom one day and watch happens and see some of the mundane, inefficient ways some of this operates. Well, not everyone can do that. And unless you really want to be depressed for a day, I don't recommend anybody go and do that, right? So, but with data, when you can go down and take this data and put it out to the public and say, okay, this is what's happening, this is why it's happening. To me, it's an extraordinarily great opportunity for our criminal justice system to start educating the public on how it operates and why they have some of the issues we're struggling with, so the public is on the same page. Dude, what's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I couldn't agree with this more. I think one thing that has been just incredibly fun about the work that I've been doing with courts and public safety agencies is that so many of them are focused on how to share data with the public and how to give the public enough context that they can understand why different things might be happening. And that is a struggle, as you're saying, because it is really hard to understand how the justice system works. I actually teach as well in a paralegal program, and it's always incredibly interesting to see people start to understand the different systems and how they interplay. But, you know, even people who are learning in a focused way about the law, who are becoming paralegals, who are becoming lawyers, it's very difficult for them to get to the point where they feel like they really understand the different components of the justice system and how they come together. So for someone who's more casually interested in these issues, or just, you know, interested as a concerned citizen, it's incredibly hard for them to make sense of the data that might be coming out of public safety or might be coming out of courts. And of course, everyone is really concerned about disparate impacts in the criminal justice system. But it's really hard to understand, you know, the different facets of why those disparate impacts might be occurring unless you have a lot of context. And, you know, you can't, if you don't understand the problem, you can't solve the problem. Mm-hmm. So there's a ton of great work that I think courts and public safety agencies are trying to do to build more trust with their communities, to serve the public better. But it is challenging because the systems are so complicated that it makes it quite hard to explain. But to the service of that, we've seen a ton of different courts and public safety agencies just publishing data consistently, collecting data specifically on issues that they know are of concern to the communities that they live in, and putting that data out there. We actually have an open data platform that we have many of our clients using. And that is a great way for them to, again, kind of put in a contextual narrative that doesn't just say, here's a chart, but it says, you know, here's a chart, here's the data that's behind the chart, here's why these different pieces of the puzzle kind of matter and help create a complete picture here. And it's been really incredible to watch that work happening, because it also spurs the courts and the public safety agencies to collect more data, to really be, you know, very specific about kind of their data collection and entry practices. So all in all, we're all getting a better picture because there's this emphasis on sharing with the public that's getting more and more prevalent across the justice system. So that's been amazing to watch our clients work in that area. And I really think that, you know, once you create that context, once you create that conversation with the public, you're really opening up the conversation to get ideas from more people. And that's what I see happening with the courts and the public safety agencies that are really working on this. They're in a conversation now where they used to kind of be sometimes feeling like they were on the defensive trying to, you know, explain their data. It's really amazing.
No, that's awesome. Thank you so much. So this last little piece, I'm going to challenge you. And on every one of these I do, a big part of what we're doing on these discussions we have is bridging the gap or explaining the gap between what you see on TV and what reality is, right? So example to set this up is, I know in our world with warrants and stuff, we'll watch TV and see some cop sitting at a keyboard and they throw out a person's name and 5 seconds later, they're pinging a device telling them exactly where they're located and all of this. And I'm like, whoa, like that doesn't happen in seconds, right? It like, it's a process of dealing with courts and warrants and the carriers and all of this. But a member of the public sees that and says, wait a minute, some cop sitting at his desk can tell me where I'm at 24/7. Like, no.
Right.
So
yeah,
when it comes to analytics, two questions. Number one, how close to some of the things we see on TV is reality? And when it comes to some of that, but more in general is looking at the future for me, 3 years, 5 years, 10 years, where do you see analytics going? And specifically, how do you see that maybe altering public policy, or how is it going to change us as citizens, right?
Yeah.
And how is that going to be deployed? So have at it. Yeah. Take a shot.
Thanks. Yeah, I always joke about the whole kind of CSI type of characterization of the justice system too, because, you know, they're always on there like, well, these people were in a third grade class together. It's not how it works. And I think most people would be really shocked to understand what a big struggle it is for public safety agencies and for courts to get data, you know, just in general, and certainly on individuals, that's reliable. That's not actually a particularly easy thing for the most part. Wow. You know, different systems vary, and, you know, there's that could be a whole series of podcasts just on that piece, but it's certainly basically nothing like what you see on TV. And, you know, it's very interesting to understand that that's how it's being portrayed, because I think it really does show kind of a real disconnect between how complicated the jobs on the ground are, and then the public perception of what it means to deal with a court case or, you know, actually attempt to resolve a criminal investigation. So I do think that is a somewhat unfortunate disconnect. And I don't think that's really quite what the future of data and analytics holds for us. You know, as we look down the road, I don't think CSI is what we're going to get. You know, I think what we're going to get is a more connected experience together, you know, collecting the data, connecting the data, and sharing the data. I think those are the three things we're going to see that are going to be transformative. There's a lot of things that take a lot of time in the criminal justice system right now that are things that simply don't need to take time. You know, things like someone who is figuring out when people in custody are going to need to be transported to the court for their hearings. That can be a huge challenge in a lot of counties. Just when are these people's hearings? When do they need to be taken to court? There's things like that, problems that can be solved with technology and with data that don't have to exist anymore. And we can start really looking at a lot of these kind of ways that we've connected these different justice partners and finding ways to optimize that. And that will actually be a huge process change on the ground. Obviously, some jurisdictions are further along in that journey than others, but that's a huge change to actually be able to really share data between these systems and then to be able to collect the data across systems that is being, you know, shared and be able to kind of understand not just what happens here, but what happens along the entire chain of events that someone goes through in the justice system. That's really what people who are passionate about justice data have been waiting for a very long time. Is, you know, we talk about things like preventing recidivism. That's very hard to measure. That's extreme. You need to have a lot of data to understand recidivism. It's very, very difficult to collect all of it and to make sure that it has enough integrity to be used. We're heading into a world where we can start to understand problems more, like recidivism, with actual real data, with actual real belief that we're seeing the right things. And that is going to be transformative, because then we can start to understand what policies and processes are working to help have people have successful reentry into their communities and what isn't. You know, start to see those patterns and trends emerge that are going to allow more effective programs and more effective services and more effective outcomes really across the entire system. Because, you know, we all have the same goals. We all want safe communities. We all want due process for the people who do go through the criminal justice system. We can start to measure those things much better than we've ever measured them before. And that's going to change all the conversations that we have about all of this. And, you know, the piece around, like, you know, technology will do a million different amazing things for us, but analytics is going to allow us to become really aware of the impacts of our processes and our decisions. And that's an incredible thing, because we have control over our processes and our decisions.
Absolutely. No, that's great. That was awesome to hear. Ellen, this was fantastic. I greatly appreciate your time. I think it was very informative for the 40 minutes we spent. I think we talked about a good bit of stuff, and I can foresee us having many more conversations in the future, and we may be able to identify some more specific topics around analytics and do some things there. But again, greatly appreciate your time, taking your Friday to come here and join us here. Any last things you want to offer up?
No, I guess I would just say, I think that we are going to see such interesting work coming out of courts and public safety when it comes to data and analytics. And I'm really excited for especially the next 5 years, because partially because of the availability of data, partially because of excitement around new technical capabilities that are out there. I am very, very sure that we are entering an era of innovation in this particular space, and that could have tremendous impact on everyone. Yep. So if folks are interested in the topic, there's lots of ways to get great information about it. There's tons of great thought out there on the internet, and I'm definitely talking to anyone that you can who works in a court or a public safety agency will give you a ton of perspective. But I'm really excited to see where we're headed. I think it's going to be very different than where we've been.
Yep. No, I agree. I think this is probably one of the most exciting topics in areas that I know the world we live in inside of criminal justice, but also, you know, with the public and the opportunity now to get that information into the public's hands for transparency, and they can see what's going on. It's going to be some very exciting and interesting times, because it's going to push for some change, but, you know, sometimes change is good. So it'll be interesting to see it. So again, Ellen, thank you so much. It was wonderful talking to you. Thank you for joining us. And we will do this again. Thank you so much.
That's good. Thank you so much, Casey. Appreciate it.
Thank you for tuning into today's episode of the Sounds of Safety podcast. Be sure to stay connected with the IJIS Institute on LinkedIn and X. And don't forget to subscribe on Apple Music, Spotify, or your preferred podcast platform to catch future episodes. From cybersecurity to artificial intelligence and deep dives into critical national data sharing initiatives, the Sounds of Safety podcast has you covered. Until next time.